We're in Matthew 24 today, Matthew 24, but you'll want to go to Matthew 28 at this point. Jesus has been talking to the Pharisees, to the religious leaders, and to the crowds. He's been telling parables about why the religious leaders are such a terrible failure in Jerusalem. He's been talking to the religious leaders, he's been talking to the crowds, and finally, as you know, in chapter 23, he just starts to rebuke the religious leaders and the generation that has followed them. Now he's through with that. You remember that last week he spoke his final public words. He is through talking in public. He has now turned to directly talk to his disciples. And I'm excited about this because Matthew 24 and 25 is not a message for the crowds. It's a message for Jesus' followers. And it's a very important message. Please turn to Matthew 28 and join me in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, to the very end of the age." Jesus says, go and make followers of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them what? To obey what I have commanded. That is what disciples are supposed to learn. That is the curriculum of disciples. Chapter 24 and chapter 25 is exactly that. Chapter 24 and chapter 25 are an important part of the school of discipleship, the curriculum of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. My question to you is this: do you want to be a follower of Jesus? Do you want to go to Jesus' school of what it means to be a follower of Christ? If you do, then chapter 24 and chapter 25 is exactly what you need. Will you pray with me, please? I'm sorry, I got ahead of myself. Please turn back to Matthew 24 and stand with me as we read this morning's passage. Matthew 24. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart and soften your heart and remove Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Will you pray right now for the other people in this room, that God would open their hearts, softening their hearts, removing Satan's blinders from their eyes, and make them good soil for his word, that his word would go down deep and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Now would you please pray for me that I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of my heart be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. You've got notes in your bulletin. We have the blanks behind me, and let's go to verse 1. Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Do you see all these things, he asked? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. Raise your hand. I don't expect a big response here. I'd be shocked if there was. Raise your hand if you have been to Israel. That's what I was afraid of. Beautiful, beautiful place. I've had the privilege of going twice. And I can tell you that when Jesus says, not one stone here will be left on another, those are big stones. It is a shocking statement. Jesus says, this beautiful building will be destroyed. These words are totally amazing to the disciples. This is the temple that King Herod had built for them. And King Herod's temple was the pride of the nation of Israel. To say that the temple would be destroyed would be viewed by the Jews as unpatriotic and almost blasphemous. Almost. This is no doubt one of the reasons the crowd turned away from our glorious Lord. He says, this temple, the pride of the nation, will be destroyed. Look at verse 3. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will the sign, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? Now remember something here. The disciples had a lot of trouble understanding that Jesus was going to die, rise from the dead, ascend to heaven, and come back a second time to rule and reign. That whole plan did not occur to them. They thought he was going to set up his earthly kingdom right then and there. You can see that as you read the Gospels. Please join me in Isaiah chapter 9. Beautiful passage. Isaiah 9, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bars across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord will accomplish this. The disciples thought he was going to do this right away, and the Jews did too. This was the expectation of all the Jews, that Messiah would come and set up his kingdom right away. They did not understand that he had to die to pay for our sins, go back up to heaven, and come back a second time to rule and reign. Chapter 24 and 25 are about the glorious return of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember, however, that the temple that Jesus was pointing to was destroyed a mere 40 years later. Some Bible scholars feel that chapter 24 is partially about that, and then partially about the return. Some Bible scholars feel that chapter 24 is all about the return. But in our Men's Leadership Institute, we are learning to ask ourselves a three-word question when we look at a passage of Scripture, and that question is, Dave, what's the point? The point of chapter 24 is that we are to be faithful and watchful disciples of Jesus Christ until our Lord returns. That is the point of the chapter, and it is that theme that we are going to look at this morning. Let's look at verse 4. Verse 4. Remember, Jesus is giving us instructions how to be a faithful and watchful follower of Jesus. Do you want to be faithful and watchful? Chapter 24 tells us how. Verse 4, Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceive you." He starts out with a very important warning. Watch out. Don't be deceived. You know, in this country, we can be deceived by all kinds of things, especially in the financial world. You see commercials on TV. You see ads. Get out of debt immediately. Take care of your tax burden. get out of this, get out of that, pay off your house, get rich quick. On and on and on and on the commercials go. And you know and I know that we have to watch out that we are not deceived by some of those finances, by some of those people. Jesus gives us the same warning. The same is true of a disciple of Jesus Christ. A disciple of Jesus Christ first must watch out and not be deceived. What are we watching out for? Look at verse 5. Verse 5, "For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many." In your notes, number one, many people are going to claim to be the Messiah. Brothers and sisters, this has been happening for many, many years. It happened in the time of the New Testament. It's happening now. It will continue to happen. About 100 years after Christ ascended back to heaven, a Jewish rabbi was raised up, and he was believed to be the Messiah. And today, people come and claim to be the Messiah. It happens today. Here is a very scary example. Trinity Baptist Church, Jesus told us that false Christs would appear. And I want you to not be deceived. How can you not be deceived? Cling to this book. This is the book to trust. I have had people come to my office. I've had people talk to me, and they say, "How do I trust you? This guy says something else. Why should I trust you over that guy?" And I say, "Don't trust me over that guy. Just read the book." Trinity Baptist Church, cling to the book. Cling to the book, and you will not be deceived. Satan is crafty, and he is deceptive. And while I trust that it is obvious to every one of you that that guy is not Jesus, there will be others that will be far more deceptive and far more crafty. And the only way that you can be ready is if you are well studied, well grounded, well read in the Word of God. The Word of God will protect you. Stay close to God. Abide in the vine, Jesus Christ. Stay closely connected. Keep your relationship close to Jesus Christ, and when you are close to the real thing, you can spot the counterfeit a mile away. When you are close to the real thing, you can spot the counterfeit a mile away. Look at verse 6 with me, please. "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains." Jesus mentions three things: war, famine, earthquakes. But he says this: don't panic when you see this stuff. Don't panic when you see this stuff. This is not the end yet. These are just birth pains. The Greek word he uses for birth pains is Odin. It was used by the Jews to describe the period of suffering before Messiah comes. Please join me in the prophet Micah. Micah 4. And we read from verse 6. In that day, declares the Lord, I will gather the lame, I will assemble the exiles, and those who have brought to grief, I will make the lame a remnant, those driven away a strong nation. The Lord will rule over them in Mount Zion from that day and forever. As for you, O watchtower of the flock, O stronghold of the daughter of Zion, the former dominion will be restored to you. Kingship will come to the daughter of Zion. Why do you now cry aloud? Have you no king? Has your counselor perished, that pain seizes you like a woman in labor? Writhe in agony, O daughter of Zion, like a woman in labor. For now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. In the Old Testament, birth pains was seen as the period of suffering before Messiah. But here in the New Testament, Jesus is using it the same way. He says, when you see war, when you see famine, when you see earthquakes, don't panic. It's not the end. It's the beginning of birth pains. Look at verse 9. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Number 2 in your notes. Everyone will hate us and persecute us. And I want you to know, Trinity Baptist, Jesus is not just talking to the original 12 here. He is talking to every follower of Jesus Christ. It happened immediately after Jesus went back up to heaven, and it is happening now. The Greek literally says, you will be hated because of my name. Here's a question for you. Do people hate you because you're a Christian? Rejoice! It is an honor to be hated because we are Christians. It's an honor. I would much rather stand with Jesus and be killed than stand apart from him and live. Do people hate you because you're a Christian? If your answer is no, here's something to think about. If they don't hate you because you're a Christian, maybe they're open to the gospel. If they see your life of godliness and they're attracted to it, share the gospel with them. If they don't hate you because you're a Christian, here's another possibility. You've compromised with them. You've compromised with the world, and your life does not expose the world's sin. Do you want the gospel to go forth through this whole world? Yes. This is what we need. People are not open to the gospel. Why are they not open to the gospel? They're not open to the gospel because the lives of Christian people do not convict them of sin. They don't think they're sinners because their lives are no different than ours. The light they need to see is us. When they see our holiness and righteousness and purity, they're going to look at themselves and they're going to say, wow, I'm dirty. And either they're going to embrace their sin or they're going to reach out for a Savior. The more we are like Christ, the more people that love sin will hate us. We must be ready to be hated by the world. We must be ready to be hated by the world. Jesus says the world will hate us. We must be ready to be hated by the world, and when it happens, we must stick together and take care of each other. This is why we have the One Hope Project. You know that I am passionate about the One Hope Project. This is why we support the One Hope Project, because people hate us today. And Jesus says in John 13, he says, love one another. And the way we can love one another is love those brothers and sisters who are being persecuted around the world. Some of them don't have their own Bible, and we can provide their own Bible for them. But are you ready to be hated for Jesus? Because the closer you get to Jesus, the more people that love their sin are going to hate you. He warned us. Be ready. Look at verse 10. Why do we need to be ready? Why does Jesus say, be ready for the world to hate you? Look at verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Next in your notes, many Christians will fall away and betray our Lord and us. Many people will turn away from the faith. Some people that have a superficial or shallow commitment to Christ will not stay with our glorious Lord when it gets tough. Jesus predicts that people that used to be part of us will hate us. Here's a question for you. What about you? What about you? It is very hard to follow Jesus in Saudi Arabia. It is very hard to follow Jesus in North Korea. It is very hard to follow Jesus in Northern Sudan. Dave, stand up, please. Read your shirt, please.
This shirt's illegal in 51 countries. Restricted, and coastal areas are 11 of them. Those places you can die.
The shirt he's wearing is illegal to wear in 51 countries. Why, Dave? Turn around. It's a Bible verse.
I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God, salvation of everyone who believes.
Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. That shirt's illegal in 51 countries, and in 11 countries, he'll be put to jail. But it's easy here. He can wear that shirt. In fact, Carrie and I, and hopefully a lot of you, are going up and down the street after church to witness for Christ. Here's a reason to go. Because you can. Because you can. I could fill this room with Christians from Saudi Arabia. And if I said, hey, after church, we're going to go witness, they'd be like, what? We can just walk the streets and proclaim the name of Jesus? They would bust out of here right now. I couldn't keep them here for as long as my sermon. They would go flying out, and on Monroe, they would say, Jesus loves you. And they would be so happy because they can do it. Come with us after church just because you can. Because there's thousands of Christians around the world who would love the privilege to walk up to someone on the street and say, Jesus loves you, and not get thrown in jail. How long before we can't do it here? I don't know. But let's do it while we can. Let's do it while we can. Jesus says many people will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. What about you? What if suddenly all of India hated us? They hated us. What if when you parked your car out here or out here to come into this building, you knew for sure your car would be vandalized? Because all of India hated Christians. What if we couldn't shop in this town? What if we couldn't buy food in this town? What if we couldn't get jobs in this town? What if we couldn't buy gas in this town? And what if you couldn't move to another town? What if America hated Christians? Would you still be one of us? Would you stick with us? Would you stay with us? Or would you leave? I hope and pray that you'd stay with us. Because Jesus says, many, not a few. Look at verse 10. Many, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate one another. Look at verse 11. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. Number 4 in your notes, there will be false prophets. There will be false prophets. Would you join me in 1 John chapter 2? 1 John 2:18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. This has been happening for 2,000 years. False prophets will arise, and we see it happening today. Many false prophets have come up and deceived many people. How can you protect yourself? The Word of God. The Word of God. It is not optional for you to study this book. You need it. It's a battle. Right now, we're in a time of small persecution. Small persecution. No one has ever come into my office and said, Pastor Dave, they stabbed me because of my testimony in Christ. Pastor Dave, the police came and kidnapped my children because of my testimony in Christ. But people do come into my office. People do come into my office and say, Pastor, at school today, a teacher showed a video that was dishonoring to Christ. And I came up after class and I said that was inappropriate. And they got mad and they yelled at me and they were offended. That happens today. That happens now. It's going to get worse. Reading this book is not optional. You have to be well armed. You have to be well armed. Every false prophet is going to quote the Bible. Every false prophet is going to use scripture. This guy showed you. I went on his website. He had scripture all over it. Now, hopefully, this guy was so blatant that it's so incredibly obvious that who he is. But false prophets have scripture all over. You've got to study the Bible for yourself. You've got to be armed. Please, don't leave your Bible on the shelf. I beg you. I'm your shepherd. I love you. Don't leave your Bible on the shelf. Look at verse 12. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. You must be truly born again to be filled with love. You must be truly born again to be filled with love. And many people claiming to love God will show that they are in fact spiritually dead. Many people Many people, lots of people claiming to love Jesus will fall away when it gets tough. They will not stick around with us. They will leave us. They will betray us. Which one are you? Which one are you? Look at verse 13. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. The time that Jesus is describing is a time of testing and purifying the church. It separates the superficial Christians from the real ones. We're told some people will leave the faith because they are deceived by a false Christ, and many have. Many have. I'm not talking about just Trinity Baptist. I'm talking about all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Many of us have left the faith for a false Christ. Some people will leave the faith because of the persecution. And as it becomes harder to be a Christian in this country, you're going to see churches get smaller and smaller and smaller. The ones who stick with Christ through thick and thin are the true believers. Now listen to this. Please listen to me right now. It is not that you earn your salvation by enduring to the end. You do not earn your salvation. It's a gift of grace. You do not deserve it. You're not good enough. I'm not good enough. You do not earn your salvation by enduring to the end. How can Jesus say those who endure to the end will be saved? It's because of this. Jesus will carry you through to the end. He does it. He is the good shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd. J. Vernon McGee says this. When Jesus starts out with 100 sheep, he gets to the end with 100. Sheep. It's a work of his. It's a work of his. It's going to get tough, Trinity Baptist. Christ will give you the strength to endure. He will hold on to you. He will keep you. He will watch over you. He promised to never leave you or forsake you, and he won't. Don't give up. If the Holy Spirit truly lives in you, if you are truly born again, you will make it. You will make it. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Right now, as I speak, there is a brother in prison. For Christ. Right now, as I speak, there is a sister huddled in the corner of her home. Her husband has been taken away from her, and she has no food. She is a widow for the sake of Jesus. That brother in prison, he has no food. He has no, only the clothes that they allow him to wear. Perhaps he is being tortured. And worst of all, he has no Bible. What if right now he could read these words? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me, Trinity. It's going to get tougher. you may not experience persecution for the rest of your life. There may be some day when you are hated, when you are persecuted, when you are tortured, when you are beaten, when you are left to die because of Jesus, that day may come. In fact, the scriptures say that all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution of some kind. Jesus will get you through it, I promise. I promise. Don't give up. Don't give up. Number 5 in your notes. Until Jesus' return, we are to be faithful and watchful. And that is the point. In the men's leadership class, we ask, what's the point? This is the point. Be faithful and watchful until Jesus returns. What does it mean to be faithful and watchful? The rest of chapter 24, and especially chapter 25, tells us exactly what it means to be faithful and watchful. But one thing it means to be faithful is this. The verse we read in the beginning. You see, he's the Lord, and he left. But when he left, he gave us a job to do. When he left, he gave us a job to do. Sometimes at my house, I will go to work, which is here, obviously, and I look at my beautiful daughters, and let's say their room is a little bit of a mess. I know that might be difficult for you to imagine that my daughters mess up their room, but it has happened twice. Maybe 3 times. Okay. My wife is completely separating herself from me in this conversation. Okay. Sometimes I will come to work and I'll say, Lizzie or Becky, I'm leaving. I want you to clean your room before I get back. Now, what does it mean to be faithful and watchful in that context?
Why would you believe that you're coming back?
Clean your room and believe I'm coming back. Clean your room and believe I'm coming back. What does it mean to be faithful and watchful? Chapter 25 will explain that to us, but I can simplify for it right now. Make disciples of all nations. He left. And right before he left, he said, go into every nation and make disciples. I'll be with you always. That's what it means to be faithful and watchful. Will you pray with me, please? Perhaps you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, he is coming back. He is coming back. And when he comes back, it will be too late. Please come up and talk to one of the elders after church and say, I'm a sinner. I need to know Jesus Christ. Would you please help me? If you're here and you know Jesus Christ, dedicate yourself to being faithful to his commands, always being ready for him to return at any time. Heavenly Father, please pour your Spirit out on this beautiful church that we may be faithful and watchful until you return. In Jesus' name, amen.